title of the sermon is Know Your Why. And that could be a statement or it could be a question mark. And so I do ask you as a question today, do you know your why? And I don't want to claim that this came from me. There's this Christian comedian that I follow, I've listened to before. His name is Michael Jr. And so we're going to show a 3.5-minute video clip of Michael Jr. Talking about this.
How do I know? A lot of people, when they think of the phrase, how do I know, they always want to put the what behind it. How do I know what I'm supposed to do? The question that you really should ask is, how do I know why I'm here? Because when you know your why, your what becomes more clear and more impactful. If you know, like for instance, people know that I do comedy, but that's what I do. My why is to inspire people to walk in purpose. So I can do comedy, I can write books, I can be in a movie, because all of it is motivated by my why. In fact, I have a new web series out called Michael Jr. Break Time. We probably just did the 6th episode. It's on YouTube. So every single Wednesday at 3 o'clock, we drop a new episode on YouTube of Michael Jr. Break Time. What it is it's me. I travel around the country, and I do stand-up comedy, in case you didn't know. And in the middle of my comedy set sometime, I'll stop and just talk to my audience. And we've been filming this, and it's pretty cool. So we're in Winston-Salem. I'm going to show you a clip from Winston-Salem. And I'm just talking to this guy in the audience, and he tells me that he's a musical instructor at a school. So I was like, all right, you're a musical instructor. You know, can you sing? Let me hear you sing a song. So this is what happened at the last episode of Michael Jr.'s Break Time. Check it. So you're a musical director. Cool.
Yes, sir.
All right, so let me get a couple bars of like Amazing Grace. Can you do the first part of that? Go ahead.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
That bro could sing. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Now, what you give me the version is if your uncle just got out of jail, you got shot in the back when you was a kid. I'm just saying, let me see the hood version real quick, if you know which version I'm talking about. Just see if that exists. Let me see what you got.
Amazing Grace.
Here's what I want you to catch. The first time I asked him to sing, he knew what he was doing. The second time, he knew why he was doing it. When you know your why, your what becomes more impactful because you're walking towards or in your purpose.
Hey, man. I don't know if you caught that last line. When you know your why, your what becomes more impactful because you're walking towards or in your purpose. And maybe that's a big message I want you graduates to get today. Is do you know your why? Because it doesn't matter what you're doing, but Why are you doing it? And when you figure out what that why is, you will have impact in your what. Just this morning, man, I was getting emotional just hearing Lois's testimony, and here it is right on the end of her Bible. For I know the plans you have for me. Lindsay's opening was awesome. And it's why I love special music here at Lower Deer Creek. Whether we're off-key or whether it was amazing like it was today. Because when people share their hearts, you can tell that their why is in line with God's purpose. So as we get to Philippians, a guy that we can all admire is Paul. And Paul knew his why. In Acts 19:15, Paul, who was known at that point as Saul, is blind. And the Lord goes to Ananias, who's going to then speak to Paul, and he says this to him. He says, but the Lord said to him, this is Acts 9:15, go for he, talking about Paul, go for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And as Ananias shares with Paul and he receives his sight, Paul had such an amazing ministry. In all the letters that we get in the New Testament and how he spread the gospel to the Gentiles. It didn't become just a Jewish thing. Paul started this missionary journey that went all the way to us. Paul knew his why, and his life was impactful. So we all know our what, because we all have a what, no matter the circumstances that we're in. What are you? I'm a student. I'm a nurse. I'm a farmer. I'm a person dealing with cancer. I'm jobless. I'm a dad of four kids. I'm getting ready for surgery. I'm a widow. We all have a what. And we have a what at all times. Whether we're excited about that what or feel blessed that we are in that what, it's what we are right now. But do you know your why? Are you walking in your why? Philippians 3, verse 13. Paul says this. Brothers, I do not consider what I have made. I'm reading through the ESV. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says, but one thing I do. One thing. One. In Mark 10, Jesus says to the rich young man, if you know this story, he says, one thing you lack. To the overworked and hypercritical Martha in Luke 10, he says, only one thing is needed. One thing I know, cries the man who had received his sight by the power of Christ in John 9. Often we are involved in too many things, but only one thing matters. It's God's purpose for you today, this moment. So Paul says in verse 13 and 14, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. One thing. And I will bluntly say is that one thing is Jesus. Loving Jesus. Following Jesus. Living for Jesus. Our wives must have Jesus as a central part of it. So with that, I'm going to invite my wife Ashley to come up. And I'm going to sit back and she's going to share a little bit. And I'm thankful that she's up here today. And I'll just let her tell the story. I'm just going to stop. Here you go.
So, like, I don't know what time this morning. I was laying in bed, and I was feeling sick to my stomach because I knew I was going to be up here this morning. And Steve was getting up, and I was like, I think maybe I just shouldn't this morning. And he very pastorally said, Ashley, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And you're in. Like, okay, there's no turning back. So a couple weeks ago, I was just going about my day, doing laundry, doing dishes, I don't know what I was doing. And I just felt a prompting from the Lord, and he just said, you need to talk about eternity, and you need to talk about salvation with the MYF. And it was like soon, like before the seniors leave, before your year is over, you need to talk about salvation and eternity. So I was like, okay, and I need to talk to Steve about that later. But if anyone can relate, this time of year is really busy. And so you can be living life together and you can be going this way and that way, but actually sitting down and sharing what's been in your heart may not happen. And so that's what happened. I never really shared that with Steve, and so that was maybe a week and a half ago. Well, on Monday or Tuesday this week, in the middle of the night, I was laying in bed and kind of one of those like half awake, half asleep, I don't know. And the Lord just gave me this phrase or this idea, and it was like the wide gate and the narrow gate, or something like the wide way and the narrow way. And it kind of fit along with salvation, eternity. And again, it was like God's, you know, given me this message, and I thought to myself, okay, I really need to talk to Steve now, but, you know, life is going on, and so we didn't talk. Well, then on Friday, at nap time, it had been like late nights, just right in a row, and so I was having the kids nap, and I ended up laying with Noelle, and I'm laying there with her and kind of dozing off again, and just this vivid vision came to me as I was laying there. And the vision was this wide expanse, this vast expanse, and it is full of people. And I couldn't make out individual faces because it was a sea of people. There were so many of them, and they were in this wide expanse, and it looked like they were enjoying themselves, just having a great time in this group, huge group of people. And then beside that, in my vision, I see this sidewalk. I mean, tiny in comparison to the other. And it's this sidewalk, and there's just a few people on it. They're not walking together. They're just walking on this sidewalk. And they actually looked lonely to me in this vision. But it was so vivid. And then suddenly, it shifted perspective, and I could see further down. And there I can see the sea of people, and in front of them, as they are walking, they're getting closer, and it's just this darkness, this abyss that they're headed towards. And the closer that they get, their enjoyment and their excitement turns to desperation and despair, because as they get closer to this abyss, they're just falling into darkness. And then I look over to this sidewalk where these people are walking, And at the end of the sidewalk, I can just see this pinhole of light. It's not a huge expanse like the other. I can just see this pinhole, but the brightest light is shining through it. And as these people get closer to that light, they are sprinting towards it, sprinting towards this light. And it was like immediately it was over, and I jumped up and I got down, and there was just this urgency inside of me, and I headed straight to my room, to my Bible, and I just did a quick search and flipped it open, and you know, you test these things. I needed to know that this was from the Holy Spirit, and so I turned and found Matthew 7, 13 and 14. And it put to words the vision that I had just seen, because it said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who find it are many." And that's exactly what I saw in my vision. And then it goes on to say, "For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." And then I continued searching, and it just became more and more urgent as I continued to read. And then Jesus tells another story in Luke chapter 13 where he's talking about the narrow door. And his disciples are asking them, Will there be few people that find this door? Like, how many people are going to find this door? And Jesus says to them, he says, "Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and not be able." And then he talks about the door being shut, and people will come and they'll bang on the door and they'll say, you know, "Let us in. We did this and this." And God will look at them and say, "I don't know where you're coming from. This is the, you came on the wide way. I don't know where you're coming from." And so I just felt this, just this sense of urgency. And so I called Steve and I said, "I just have to tell you," and I kind of recapped like the last few weeks of what had been happening and then what had just happened right then. And I said, "What are you preaching about on Sunday?" And he's like, "Well, it sounds like you might be up there with me." I was like, "Well, it's not really what I'm saying, but I just said, what are you preaching about on Sunday?" And he said, "Well, why don't you turn to Philippians 3? And you heard the passage that he's preaching from. And only God can do that, because his passage is about striving for that prize. His passage is about the path. It talks about destruction. And it talks about the prize that we press on towards. And it's only God can do that. Only God can put something in me and at the same time put something in him. And then suddenly they come together perfectly. And so as he and I are talking, and you know, we kind of hang up the phone, and I keep studying, and there is just this urgency that this message has to be told, that this word from the Lord has to be told, because Jesus says those who find the narrow gate, those who find the narrow door, will be few. And I can guarantee that in that group, that expanse of people, those endless people, they thought, many of them thought that they were headed for the narrow door. Many of them were left knocking and banging on that door and saying, "Lord, Lord, we went to church every Sunday. We read our Bible. We prayed. We were a good person. We were kind to others. We went to youth group every week. We went to a Christian school. We went to a Christian college." But he will look at them and say, "I don't know where you came from." Over the last couple of years, I've been downstairs with the primary department, and of course we've been doing MYF. I'm sorry, he gave me 5 minutes. I was like, I don't think I can do it in 5 minutes. I haven't been watching the clock, but I've been down in the primary department, and we've been spending time with the MYF. And it's been alarming to me, because if I ask the question to the children in the primary department, to the MYF, we had a talk last year about salvation, about sin and salvation. And if I ask the question, "How do you know that you are saved? Are you sure that you are going to heaven? How are you sure of your salvation?" I am met with blank stares, with this like searching for the right answer, or the three most popular answers that I get, and maybe you can guess what they are. Oh, you go to church, you pray, and you read your Bible. That is alarming to me, because nowhere in my Bible does it say that going to church gets you through that narrow gate. Nowhere does it say that going to MYF every week gets you through that narrow gate. Nowhere does it say that going to a Christian high school or a Christian college will get you through that gate. And so I have just, when you are talking about your why for your what, then when we're talking about knowing, having assurance that when you reach that narrow gate, you will go through, you will be welcomed into eternity. And so I've been pointing the children downstairs, I've been pointing my kids at home to this same verse. It's Romans 10:9. Because when we send these graduates out, when we all go out, maybe some of us would answer that question the same way. Maybe some of us don't know for sure that we're on the narrow path headed straight to that narrow gate. So I've been pointing them to Romans 10:9. Because if you want to know if you are on the narrow path, there's two things that it says you must do. And the first one, it says that you must confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Now, anybody can say those three words. Anybody can say, Jesus is Lord. Done. But that confession is so much more than just words, because it is coming from a place in our hearts where we have determined that we believe who Jesus says he is. We believe that he is the Son of God. We believe that he is the way and the truth and the life. And we claim him as Lord over us. It's from a place that says, Lord, I submit to your authority. I no longer want to live for myself, but I want to live for you. That is what it means to confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord. And I think that's part of the reason why so many people who are in that wide road are going straight to destruction and straight to the abyss, because they have never surrendered their lives to Jesus. They have never said, Jesus, I submit myself to your authority, whatever you want, whatever the cost. And the second thing it says in this verse is that you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And when you believe that God raised him from the dead, you don't just believe in the resurrection, you believe in why Jesus came. You believe in the finished work of Jesus. You believe that he came, that he died for our sins, that he took them to the grave, and then that God raised him victorious over our sins. You believe in the finished work of Jesus, that it is nothing that we can do, that it's nothing that we have done, nothing that we will do, nothing that we can do, but it is all about what Jesus has already done. And when you do those two things, when you confess with your mouth that you have accepted Jesus as Lord over you, and when you believe in your heart in the finished work of him, that God raised him from the dead, then your feet are set on the narrow path. Then you are pointed straight towards that bright light. And then you strive on. And so the call is urgent. There's just this sense of urgency that if you have not committed your life to Christ, and if you have not submitted to his authority, the time is now. Get your feet set on that narrow path, straight towards that bright light where you will continue striving on. And if you have done that, if you are set on that narrow path, it says right there in Matthew 7 that the way is hard that leads to life. The way is hard. And some of you, if you are on that path, you have experienced that it is hard. I saw people, they looked lonely. That path can be lonely, because when you are striving to live for Jesus and you have said, I don't want to live for me anymore, I don't want to live for this earth anymore, it can be a lonely place. You can feel like you don't belong, because you don't. We don't belong to this world. We belong to that destination that we're headed toward, and so we press on. That's why Lois Plank can come up here and proclaim the name of Jesus, because she is not living for herself. She's not living for this world. She knows what she is living for. She knows her why, so she can continue on, pressing on towards her goal. And we've heard testimony after testimony of people who are having hard times on their way, but they continue to press on toward the prize because they know that they are living towards what it says in Psalm 16:11, because it says, "You make known to me the way of life," and it says, "In your presence is joy forever. In your presence is a fullness of joy, and at your right hand is pleasantries forevermore." That is what we're living for. We're not living for temporary things on this earth. We're not living for a state soccer championship. We're not living to get a college degree. We're not living to make a bunch of money. We are striving on because we want eternity, fullness of joy, and life forevermore at the right hand of our Father in heaven. And that is why we press on.
Are you done? Good. I echo what she says. Our citizenship is in heaven if we've accepted that gift. Ashley, thank you for being faithful to the Spirit. And it is because Christ died for us that our citizenship is in heaven, like verse 20 says. Maybe as I try to close this up, verse 12, before all this, says, "I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own." I mean, the last thing I want to say to a few of you here today is that God is not in love with the future version of yourself, the future version of you. He loves you right now where you are, how you're growing right now. And God is not just a just God. He's a loving Father. He loves you right now. But if we accept this free gift, and we submit to Him as Lord, our citizenship is in heaven. It doesn't matter our works or what we have done. All that matters is that one thing. Knowing that why, that has all to do with Jesus. And for those of you that are walking with the Lord, verse 4:1 says it, "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord." When there are enemies of the cross, when there are those that are just walking for earthly things, we got to stand firm in the Lord. Let me pray. Lord God, I know your Spirit's at work. I know that you are working on people's hearts, and I know we just need to be faithful to that at times. God, if there's anyone here that hasn't accepted you as Lord and wants to fully trust in you as Lord, I pray that they will do that today. God, there is this wide path that leads to destruction, and that narrow path is hard. But God, when we look at eternity, and when we look at you and your love for us, dying for us while we were still sinners, we want to praise you. We want to love you. We want to walk for you. Give us strength to do it. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we close up today, I'm hoping you high school graduates can kind of hang out. We'll have maybe a little receiving line out there. Ashley will be back there by me. And if there's anything you need prayer for, you need to talk about, if you need to do some business today, we're here. The elders are here. Mary and the women's ministry team, they're here. They're ready. They're willing. May today be a day that that one thing, we know what it is, and it has all to do with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Creating that in your hymnals, let's pray that God will take our lives, our voices, our will, and our love as we go from here today.
Take my life. And-